Okay, we will start the 10 o'clock meeting right on time. Ms. Banks, you want to do the honor?
Trustee Anthony Iosco. Trustee Anthony Iosco, oh, thank you. Trustee Robert Marshall.
Present.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Trustee Mark Strauss.
Here.
Chair Robert Boy.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Blakemore, verification?
Notice, proper notice has been provided.
Thank you for the short order. The meeting agenda approval, may I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting? Second, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of August 25, 2011? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Under the chair's comments, today's agenda includes a number of items that require committee approval, and these action items include the ITS telecommunications voice trunking services in local, domestic, and long-distance service, the research and graduate studies contract for services amendment, the Department of Psychology research project amendments, the campus alert system, the upgrade of the 13 campus buildings, the capital project approval. There are also a number of information reports, including an update on performance contracts, semi-annual progress report of active capital projects, the quarterly summary report of transactions in excess of $100,000, and the periodic report on investments. At this time, I would like to recognize the University Advisory Committee representatives, Dr. Alan Rosenbaum and Dr. Greg Wass. Doctors, do you have anything you would like to say at this time?
No, I have a comment.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Blakemore, public comments? Any?
We have no requests.
Thank you. Eddie, you're on.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen of the Finance Committee. Our agenda is fairly short this morning, but there are some very critical items that are a part of the agenda, and then we have one update that I think you'll find very informative. To begin, item 7A is approval for the Information Technology Services Trunking Service. This is the service that provides our long distance and our regular calls for the campus, local and long distance. The carrier and successful bidder is Frontier, who moved into this area a couple of years ago, as you all know. This is a three-year contract, the amounts that are being requested approval covers the total of 3 years. So each year it's a little over $200,000. In addition, we negotiated as part of that contract 1 year renewals. We put two such 1 year renewals there because we wanted to preserve the very favorable rates that we were able to negotiate in the 3 year contract. So this gives us an opportunity to extend the service two additional years at the same rate. So we ask your approval of this request.
Thank you. Eddie, this is really deals with the landlines that we have in particular?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. May I have a motion? Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments? Trustees? Okay, nothing to talk about on telephone lines. I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Yes. Item 7B is some good news, again, in terms of our ability to attract federal grants. This is for the research and graduate studies area. Our NERF, our Northern Illinois Research Foundation, has been involved in the purchase of a computer system, utilizing, again, federal grant proceeds, and then also our Our NERF Foundation is in the position to more and more provide services to the university regarding initiating and processing potential grants and research activities, patent issues and things of that nature in more detail. But at any rate, we're able now, based upon the grants and the monies that have come in, to move forward with the purchase of the computer 12-node computer cluster for this one particular project, and also to enhance and support the services provided to the university through NERF. So we ask your approval of this amendment to the existing prior amount.
May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Okay, there's a move by Trustee Stiles and second by Trustee Miller. Okay, discussion? No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7C is the Department of Psychology has again a research project that has that commenced back in September of 2007. My understanding is that this project has to do with game theory and not casino game, but it's another type of game theory, and the particular grant has been and research has been very successful. What is being requested here is basically an extension of the expenditure authority, given the fact that the grant did not complete all of the work that was initiated under the original time period. This extension has to do with providing the University of Memphis with additional $25,417 and Claremont College an amendment of $41,594. These dollars come directly from the grant, the general grant itself. So these are not really new grant allocations. It's just giving the authority to take monies that have been available to extend for that purpose. So we asked your approval.
These are basically pass-throughs, right?
Yes, sir.
And we've been doing that since 07.
Yes, sir.
Okay. May I have a motion, please?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion. All right. I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7D is something that is sort of pursuant to what happened nationwide yesterday. We at NIU have our own campus alert system, and just like federally, we have been trying to upgrade our buildings so that they would be a part of the system, the alert system. This system includes tying in our public safety office with the fire alarms and voice and visual type of alert systems, as well as our text alert system, so that if there is an issue or problem on the campus, we have a mechanism to get the word out and communicate effectively with those who are in and around the campus. We have been involved in this upgrade for some time now. This is phase three of the project, and we asked board approval to establish the project budget at $385,000 that we would go forward and identify architect engineers to provide the service and to contract for the services itself. We asked your approval.
So when it's all done, if something happens, the phones will ring, the computers will flash, and everything else will go off simultaneously.
Not, let's not say everything will go off, but let's say that that it will work.
You know what I mean.
People will be.
Everything will alert.
Will alert. That's right.
Right. That's right. Thank you. All right. Now that we've got it clear, thank you. May I have a motion, please?
Someone.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. The second will there somewhere. All right.
Question.
Comments?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Dr. Williams, could you just speak to the issue of how this affects our off-site campuses as well and how it's integrated, if it is?
It is not integrated with our off-campus sites because of distance, and that's those are different operations. What we want to do here is have for our DeKalb campus the facilities here on this site to be centrally connected so that we can communicate and do our own texting through that. For the I won't call them remote sites, but for the other sites, Naperville, Rockford, and so forth, what we want to do there is tie into the local alert systems of the municipalities or the townships or whatever that we are located in there, so that we have a more direct contact there, because those would be the responding units. That's where the services would be needed most. That does not mean that we would not be remotely connected to the specific sites, but it does mean that the central core of our alert system for those sites would be more locally centered.
I've made mention of this before, and I just want to reiterate it. I'm very concerned that we assure ourselves that our off-site campuses are notified in as timely and as extensively as the notification on site, and I'm very concerned about that, and I really want us to focus on that if we, as we look at these types of things, I really want to focus on that, because I think it's important that we consider, although they're off-site, they are our campus, and we need to make sure that those who are in those buildings and on those off-site campuses are informed as readily and as timely as someone who's on the DeKalb campus.
I truly appreciate your comments because that is critical. We are looking at that. We will keep it as a priority make sure, because, again, as you said, that's part of NIU. Those are our sites. Those are our employees. Those are our students. And we certainly want to make sure that everything that is possible is done in terms of making those facilities as safe as possible.
Good.
So
thank
we
you.
Certainly appreciate what you're saying.
Any other discussions?
Okay. If none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we have a number of informational items, but these are fairly routine, and I certainly will be more than happy to respond to any questions that anyone may have regarding the informational items. But the first item I thought would be a very informative report to the committee, which gives you some indication of our success in utilizing the state appropriation authorization for universities to use performance contracts to provide for physical improvements for the campus. Here under this program, and we've talked about it, we've discussed it many times, under this program the university is able to get improvements made, especially that are energy related, all of which have some cost savings and payback periods. We're able to get these kinds of capital improvements made without putting forth capital dollars, having a contractor put forth the initial capital investment as well as complete the project, and then would realize their funding through the savings that are generated from the actual improvements. So we've been very successful with this, and I've asked Bob Albanese to give the committee a report regarding our performance contracts.
Eddie, if I remember correctly, and you and Ken Pugh initially came up with this about 10 years ago or more, or is it?
Yes, sir. It's been about 10 years, and I would put Bob in there too. And
Bob also.
Yes, sir. We're up to, I think, our 10th performance contract set of projects.
We've got 12 projects.
It's 12 now.
And my favorite term for performance contract, I prefer to say as other people's money. That really is what
that's
it is.
That's basically what
we're doing.
And
there's a movie about that you want to see, too.
So. That's correct. Good morning. Dr. Williams said I had about a half hour, but I only need 5 minutes. Okay, first slide. First of all, I'd like to thank Ken Pugh, and I think Chair Boy had mentioned his name. He's been the lead project manager on all 12 projects, and this is a hat I asked him to wear over 10 years ago, and he's done a fantastic job doing the coordination between a lot of units on campus in making sure each of these projects are successful. So once again, I'd like to thank Ken. And a little shout out for Paul Lofgren, who put together the presentation, because this is way beyond me in terms of technology. Okay, first, just a little background. I think Dr. Williams had mentioned that in 1997, there was a law enacted that gave universities the capability to enter into these performance contracts. And once again, the three factors that really appealed to most campuses and a lot of governmental units is that the campus didn't have to outlay any capital. We would be guaranteed energy savings, and what we would do is use those energy savings to pay the debt service for the capital improvements. And the risk had shifted from the university to the contractor. What that really means is that the timeline on getting these projects done accelerated substantially. Then in that legislation changed in 2006. Originally it was 10 years. And there were a number of energy conservation projects that fit in that 10-year window. But in 2006, because these things started to be so successful throughout the state of Illinois, the legislature increased it to 20 years. And that really opened up a whole bunch of other projects, because the payback had to be 20 years rather than 10 years. And we've been taking advantage of that on a pretty accelerated basis since 2006. Okay, next slide. Okay, can we have the next slide? There we go. I stole this from Keith Jackson's 2011 financial report, and you would see this when we produce that financial report very shortly. But this basically lists the 12 projects we've done since 1999. And what we did is we started out very small, because there were a lot of unknowns. And really, we were the first public university in Illinois to get involved with this performance contract concept. So we started out small and kind of grew from there. And right now, we're on our 12th project, all the way down to Project 10B. And some are phases. That's why we're in Phase 10, but really the 12 projects. To date, we've done, if you add up that $26 million and the $11 million project we're doing right now, we're about $37.5 million in deferred maintenance that we've been able to do under this concept at basically no cost to the university. And that's pretty amazing. If you look at the last column, that $2.6 million, that's basically the debt service we're paying every year on these projects. But the nice thing about it, that $2.6 million is immediately generated through energy savings. So our utility bill goes down and we pay it to the contractors. And as you can see, we're starting to get some of the earlier ones are starting to fall off. So the debt service, we're through paying the debt service on some of the earlier ones. It's really going to give us an opportunity to kind of roll over and do some other things. Some of the things Ken and I and Dr. Williams have discussed, and I think it was just mentioned, is we're going to start taking a look at our other campuses. We've been focusing in on the DeKalb campus, but there's no reason we couldn't go to Hoffman Estates, Rockford, and Naperville and do the same thing, because they pay utility bills, and therefore we can use the same concept there. It's going to obviously require a little more coordination, But as we start whittling away some of the projects on the main campus, what we're going to do is try to look to the future and do some things on some other campuses that are certainly going to benefit the bottom line of the university. Okay, next slide, please. I asked Ken to put together a sample timeline. And what this basically says, if you look at the last line, is that from the time we kind of think it's a good concept and we've got some idea of what we'd like to do until we're completed with these projects, the timeline is between 46 and 68 weeks. Now, as you'll see in another slide, some of the things that we accomplish as part of the performance contract have been on our capital list with the state of Illinois for 5, 7, 8 years. So what we've been able to do is take a look at some things that really need to be done and put them in via performance contract because we basically can't wait for the state to fund some of the capital needs here at the university. And this is pretty well held true, the 46 to 68 weeks. Nice thing about it is the contract is involved with all getting all the subs and really putting together the work. It doesn't really take a lot of involvement by the university. We do a lot of coordination, and it moves along fairly smoothly. A lot of the labor issues, the prime contract has to deal with rather than a university. So from a university point of view, it's pretty much, they'll just give us the keys when it's all done. Next slide, please. Our current performance contract, the one we're working on now, we consider to be phase 10. It's about $11.5 million. And the project cost on this one is about over $11 million. And we're about a third completed. If you look at our east heating plan, you see the back is kind of sectioned off. What we're doing is some major improvements to our east heating plan. As we get into heating season, when we have boilers that go back to the late 60s, we better keep up to date in terms of making sure this equipment is running as we would hope. So we're about a third completed, and we'll expect to be done with this project, this $11 million project, by August. So once again, we're in that time frame of doing a lot of deferred maintenance work in a short period of time and having those improvements help our utility bills immediately. Next slide, please. Just an example of some of the things that we've been doing in phase 10. If you look at the first one, is campus-wide replace and rebuild steam traps. Now, I'm not a technical person, certainly not an engineer, but what basically that does is heat up the water so we don't have to reheat it. That's kind of my understanding of it. Saves us a lot of money. This is the money maker of the whole phase 10. And what we do is in the calculation, the steam trap is going to generate a whole bunch of savings. So what we try to do is slide in some other projects that maybe don't have as much energy savings. If you look down the list, I know Dr. Kaplan is thrilled that we were able to get to the Loudon roof, because that's been something that's been sitting out there a number of years, haven't been able to do it. It really doesn't generate a lot of energy savings, but because we include it with some things that do generate a huge amount of energy savings, we can do some things that aren't really part of the energy efficient. And what we try to do is always throw a few roofs in there. And we were able, as part of this project, to do the roof at Loudon, Anderson, and Swen Parson. And those we consider to be some critical ones. Once again, state has been a little slow in funding these projects. We've kind of slid in there and said, these are such a high priority, we better get to doing them right away.
In the office?
That's what she tells me. And that one went very well. Once again, the outside contractor manages it. they get in and out. The Loudoun one, I think, went fairly quickly and really didn't disturb the day-to-day operation of the building. We also look to spread around some of the other projects where we do some lighting upgrade. The parking garage was something we discussed with public safety. It's a safety issue. We want to make sure our parking garage was properly lit. So we're swapping out the old lighting for LED lighting that's much more user-friendly and certainly reduce our maintenance costs. So this just is an example of some of the things we do. We have a mix of energy savings and also some things that are just high priority items that need to be fixed. Next slide, please. What this has done, and this is a little hard to compute, and I've kind of gone back and forth on how to compare where we are. Basically, in 1997, this law passed through 2011. Well, I was saying, well, overall, how has these energy performance contract affected our utility bill? And what it's done is, because we're more efficient in consuming utilities, we figure out that there's been a 16% reduction in utility usage. And if you think of 1997, how we had classrooms set up versus how we have them set up now, we're using a lot more power in the classrooms, and yet because of these efficiencies, our usage has gone down. And we figure it to be at the minimum 16%, but if you add in how more technologically equipped these classrooms are, that number would only go up to, and I figured it was about 20%, but that's the raw number of what we're saving by doing these performance contracts. Next slide, please. Okay, this is the easy one. Any questions? Yes, sir.
I have questions in a couple of areas. The effort at conservation is great, and I'm glad that we're able to find a way to finance some of the maintenance. On a more fundamental level, we still use a lot of energy, gas and electricity. And I'm wondering, do we make those purchases ourselves, or do we do those purchases as part of a buying group of some sort?
We do it ourselves. Over the year, going back to when I did my first stint at physical plant, we put together a program that looks at the weather forecast for the upcoming year. We have some consultants. We've got somebody who basically monitors this on a day-to-day basis, and we make utility purchases from somebody other than Commonwealth Edison. And nowadays, it's similar to what you see when you get something in the mail and they will say you can buy electricity from another company. We do that going out into the future, and right now, if I recall correctly, we're locked into the first quarter of 2013 because we thought the market was absolutely at the lowest level. We do the same for natural gas and electricity. Water, we're tied to the city of DeKalb, but we've got a pretty sophisticated program, and we use a lot of resource in coming up with when's the best time to purchase utilities, or is it better to kind of ride the market, so to speak. So, yes, we do.
The delivery still comes through ComEd or through NICOR for the gas.
That's
for the
correct.
Electricity.
That's correct.
And I know in my business that they have made available some programs that are grants that will offset energy efficiency projects, and I wonder whether we've also explored those opportunities.
Yes, we have. Ken is really aggressive in looking at what we're doing in energy conservation, and we apply for every grant that's out there, and some are state, some are federal, and over the years we've gotten a number of these, and I think on this latest performance contract, we've got at least three or four grants that are going to reduce our cost and obviously the university outlay.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Dr. Peters?
Yeah. Trustee Strauss, let me drill down a little bit on the first part of your question, because I think there's a good story.
under a previous governor of Illinois, who shall remain nameless, there was a big push to try and have public agencies, particularly universities and others, group together to see if there was a more efficient way of buying energy. And if I remember correctly, maybe Eddie and Bob could fill in the details, but if I remember correctly, they brought in a lot of experts. They did a major study, and what they found out about NIU is, as much as they pushed their model, our approach was more efficient and cheaper, because we buy gas at the wellhead. We're, you know, we're into the spot market, we're into the futures market. And the same is true. I see Bill Finucane is here when he buys petrol, and I think it was very interesting. And then again, that kind of went away, but that's a good concept to look at. But in our case, it really didn't work. Eddie, is am I got the facts of that about
right? I
think
that absolutely, I think from we already know that we can do better than the state in everything except losing money. But felt that by showing and demonstrating what we could do in terms of energy conservation and then in terms of the purchasing. Because part of the problem was that you had so many different agencies, even between the public universities, there's a lot of difference in terms of demand and so forth and so on. And it just was not a feasible approach at all. And I think we're always open to opportunities, but for that particular case, we were able to demonstrate very easily that we were doing much better than what the state could possibly do.
We feel very strong that we can do a better job at the university level in terms of purchasing. I worked in the University of Wisconsin system, and they took over utilities and paid for them centrally. And you kind of lost the incentive to do anything that's really going to be energy efficient and green on campus, because the state was basically keeping those savings at state level. We're much better off at the university level having the flexibility of doing that purchasing, and we do it in a fairly conservative fashion. And we've done very well over the year, but we do have a utility analyst that's part of the physical plant department that basically, that's her job every day, is to work with consultants. She sits on a statewide group of other public universities, and we go over where they're purchasing utilities, how far they're going out, and it's a pretty sophisticated calculation that we use. Then I bring our advice to Dr. Williams, and we kind of shoot it around for a little while and make those decisions, because part of what we try to do is lock in a budget so that we're taking away that variable for that year, because now we know what we're going to be paying. We know what the usage is, and that's a big part. Other than personal services, the next biggest portion of the budget is utilities. And to have that kind of locked in at a level where you know where it's going to be, it takes that uncertainty out of a lot of planning that may go on.
First of all, I want to comment that Dr. Peters and Dr. Williams have managed our resources in an absolutely brilliant manner, and we have been aggressive, and I think in these days we have to be aggressive. But a thought comes to my mind, especially as we have these performance contracts that are dependent upon savings. Where's that projectile? You know, at some point, do we hit is the projectile hit a wall where there are no more savings? And or do you think that that's so far in the future that there's so much that we can capture that this is a methodology that will be available to us in the foreseeable future?
Well, that's a very interesting observation. I never thought of it that way, but a couple of comments I'd make. First of all, I think that the fact that the state did move forward public acts to allow this type of approach to funding maintenance and deferred maintenance projects, capital projects, was indeed a very positive thing. The reason why I don't think we're going to have a problem in running into a wall is because we have a moving target. And our deferred maintenance, as you know, is growing every year. And while roofs over in certain part of the campus are not leaking today, I guarantee you in a few years, if nothing is done, they will be leaking. And so I think that there is a moving target here, so that the projects will be different, and perhaps, and that's why the 2006 move to extend the number of years of payback from 10 to 20 was very important, because now you got more marginal projects. But I don't see where we're going to run out of need and the opportunity to take advantage of this.
So I think what we're saying then is that, and that's what I think you were pointing out, that as we have some projects, they'll go off the books on it, because we really have optimized the resources in cost savings.
Sure.
But what you're saying, Dr. Williams, is we have so many projects, and what we're looking at is this is probably one of the primary ways in which we'll deal with capital needs. Is that correct?
I, in a sense, I have a similar business that we have industrial park, which is one-tenth the size of this. We have 650,000 square feet, the university is $6.5 million. But you don't run out of opportunities in the area to look for improvement. The latest thing is lights, especially with neon tube that they're going out. President Bush has declared that we will no longer make the neon tube lights. By the end of this year, they won't be available, other than whatever inventory there is. So, but what they have come up with are new lights, and in the process of doing that, Commonwealth Edison will say, whatever you save, we'll give you back a percentage of it on your bills. So it's encouraging people to do that. The other question I have for Bob is, I remember Jeff Dower a few months back brought this miserable-looking underground cable sample out, and I know a little bit about cable making. I haven't seen the replacement project listed under the performance contract, or is it buried in there somewhere? Because there's a huge cost of replacement.
That's true. Now, we've done that with using university funds. And while we do hit on some electrical projects as part of performance contract, that's kind of going up a separate track. And to further answer your question and sort of affirm Dr. Williams' comment, we've done the low-hanging fruit, the easy ones, we've already done. So that's why we're looking at, for maybe the next round or two, projects in the other campus sites where we really haven't hit yet, so that we can hit the low-hanging fruit there and then kind of work our way back to the main campus. And then we're going to have to kind of struggle to come up with energy conservation projects that generate enough savings to pay for the project. So it's kind of a cycle, and we've got to keep moving that cycle. And the environment changes, so that usually is part of the equation.
So, sir, to answer your question, we don't have to worry about in our term. In terms of opportunities, there are plenty of them to cover our terms. It's up to Eddie when he serves the next 30 years what he's going to do.
Anything other questions?
Else, trustees?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Mr. Chairman, again, I want to thank Bob and all of Ken Pugh and all of those who are involved. It's a campus effort, but the results are something certainly that make a big difference. There are, as I said before, other informational items that are attached to this agenda. We have our semi-annual progress report on capital projects, our quarterly summary of transactions in excess of $100,000, and our periodic report on investments, and those are at your place, and you're able to review those, and I know you have. So if there are any questions on those, we certainly will be more than happy to respond to them at this point.
Trustee, anything else? All right. Are there other matters that come before the committee? If not, the next meeting date will have to be determined in the near future after the board, the full board meeting. Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor? Thank you. Adjourned.